precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, a sure foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Ariel Sharon, will his strong hand bring peace? Is the ultimate question of the hour. Now, I know that I've read this article sometime in the past, but because of all the conflicts going on now in Israel and all the pointing of fingers on who's to blame, especially some time ago, the EU and some of the others out there wanted to bring criminal charges against Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, and of course at this point in time I believe that it's kind of hanging out there and they're not doing anything about it. So, but at any rate, Ariel, as also known as Arak Sharon, has now been elected Prime Minister of Israel, and of course this article is somewhat old, but relevant for today. He decisively had defeated Barak, who, by the way, had lost the election, even though he had close to 100% support from the Israeli Arabs at that time. Israeli Jews, having at long last understood the futility of the Oslo Accord peace process and of the appeasement of the Palestinians, were ready for a radical change. But Ariel Sharon is much maligned, often called a murderer and a war criminal. There are three myths that his distractors propagate. Now here are the facts. Myth number one, the war in Lebanon. Sharon's enemies accuse him of having launched the Peace for Galilee War in Lebanon in 1982 unnecessarily and without knowledge or permission from Prime Minister Begin at that time. But that is nonsense, of course. Israel, in contrast to all Arab states, is a democratic country governed by civilian authority, not even a presumed warlord, as Sharon is regularly titled, could start any military action, let alone a full-blown war, without the full approval of the government. The war in Lebanon, reviled though it may be now, was at the time an essential necessity for Israel. An intense and vicious civil war between the Muslims and the Christian Maronites was going on in that country, a civil war that began in earnest when the PLO entered Lebanon in 1970. They established their own mini-kingdom in that unhappy country. Over 100,000 people were killed. From their base in Lebanon, the PLO had launched innumerable terrorist attacks against Israel and was poised for a major invasion. When Israel invaded Lebanon, the Lebanese civilians, delighted to be freed from the terror of the PLO, greeted Israeli soldiers as their liberators with flowers of happiness and hope. Sharon led his victorious troops to the outskirts of Beirut. He refrained from entering Beirut itself only because of the tens of thousands of casualties it would have caused, most of them Lebanese. Under pressure, world opinion, mostly, sad to say, that of the United States, he allowed Arafat and his PLO to escape to Tunis, where they were poised to plan further mischief and destruction that destabilizes the Middle East until this very day. Myth number two, the massacre of Sabra and Shatila. The gravest accusation against Ariel Sharon is that he condoned or perhaps even instigated the massacre of about 800 Lebanese Muslims in Sabra and Shatila refugee camps. The reality is that the perpetrators of this horrific crime were so-called Christian phalangists, murderers, who by stealth invaded these camps and acted in revenge of the assassination of Lebanese president-elect Bashir Jamiel. Sharon's distractors claim that he should have been aware of this assault or that he was aware and did nothing to prevent it. But nobody outside the camps could have known what was happening because invading phalangists use no guns, only knives in perpetrating their crimes. Not a single shot was fired. Time magazine published a story on the events in which it clearly accused Sharon of complicity in this horrendous crime. Sharon sued Time for libel and won. But the slander that Sharon was responsible for the massacre has not died down. It continues to be assiduously propagated in the Arab and Muslim media and also in much of the rest of the world. Myth number three. The Al-Aqsa Intifada. The current Intifada, the bloody uprising of the Palestinians against Israel, did not, as the media like to report, start with Ariel Sharon's visit to the Temple Mount. That visit, which had been arranged beforehand and which had been approved by the Palestinian Authority, was simply a pretext. And of course, I reported on the fact that they did admit, and it was documented that this was already a premeditated plan. This uprising, which could be called the Rosh Hashanah War of 2000, actually started days earlier, on September the 23rd, the year 2000, when a Palestinian policeman killed point blank his Israeli counterpart, with whom he had been on patrol 2 days earlier. Mr. Sharon's visit to the Temple Mount was simply the signal to start this uprising, which voluminous intelligence proves to have been planned way in advance. And why shouldn't any Jew be allowed to visit the Temple Mount, which is the Western Wall? And the Western Wall is the holiest site for all Jews and the focus of all their longings. Any Arab can visit any place, any holy place, including the Western Wall, in any part of Israel without being questioned and without being molested. What is it with the Muslims that they go berserk if a Jew visits one of their holy sites? To blame Sharon for provoking and starting the Al-Aqsa Intifada makes as little sense as to believe that World War I would not have started had Archduke Ferdinand not been assassinated in Sarajevo. The media is mounting a smear campaign against Ariel Sharon, describing him as an out-of-control warmonger, a man on the perpetual war path, someone who, if elected, would not hesitate to use troops against the Palestinians and all other Arabs. The reality is that Israel desperately needed Sharon, and thank God he was elected. He is an Israeli hero who played a decisive role in Israel's brilliant victory against combined Arab might in the Six-Day War, who with his bold thrust into Egypt encircled that country's Third Army in the Yom Kippur War and thus turned near defeat into glorious victory. And who in his various ministerial roles has performed fearlessly and most successfully. After the disastrous regime of Ehud Barak, a man who was intimidated by President Clinton and who was putty in the hands of Arafat, the strong man, the strong hand of Ariel Sharon is needed to bring peace with security to Israel and to the Middle East. The Arabs in Palestine, Syria, and all the rest will know that this is a man that cannot be pushed around, but also that any agreements that he will enter in will be scrupulously kept. And of course, at the time this article was written, provided by Flame, Iraq, Ariel Sharon, was welcomed as their prime minister. And right now, folks, we are seeing the same false accusations against him. Now, along these similar lines, we deserve a factual look at excessive force. Are Israelis overreacting to the present upheaval? Once again, the Palestinians have risen in bloody upheaval in that second intifada. And of course, it's gone on for months and months and months, allegedly provoked by now Prime Minister Ariel Sharon's visit to Temple Mount. Many think that Israel is using excessive force in attempting to quell this uprising. First of all, before I continue to read this thing, I want to just make mention that last time in the broadcast, I mentioned about collective accountability and collective judgment. Now, folks, in World War II, when we realized that we would have lost hundreds of thousands of our American soldiers in trying to take over Japan after Pearl Harbor, we realized the only way to stop that war was to send the atomic bomb. Now, as a consequence of the atomic bomb, hundreds of thousands of Japanese were killed. Innocent so-called lives were killed, but it was done in the name of war. Now, folks, surely nobody wanted to see those innocent people killed. Innocent in the sense that they were not part of a military involvement. But as a people, as a whole, they were just as responsible for the attack on Pearl Harbor as the military was. But nevertheless, the fact of the matter is, in war, there is no such thing as innocent lives. Because when a nation is fighting a war against another nation or another group of people, then those people that the war is involving are held accountable and are responsible to each other's nation. So this is a bunch of baloney that innocent lives were taken. There's no such thing as innocent lives when you're in a state of war. It is a sad thing that people, mothers and children and babies, will get killed in a state of war. It is sad. It is heart-wrenching. And it ought not to have to be. But that is what war is all about. I do not advocate war as such. I do not advocate aggression. But when righteousness is at stake as a nation, and when the forces of evil are out to destroy a righteous nation or a nation that's built on righteous principles, then the nation that is based on biblical principles has a right to defend itself to the extent that they have the right to utterly wipe out the enemy. Now that is an institution of God that God ordained. He instituted righteous government, and he had empowered the rulers of the government to defend their people. So there's a lot of nonsense out there, and the media, which is a bunch of liberals for the most part, all they care is to sell their lousy newspapers and get people to look at their television programs. They don't care about the truth. Why don't they look at history? Why don't they look at present history? What about when we sent a missile, a smart missile, and obviously they claim it accidentally hit a wedding going on there in Afghanistan? Oh, there was a little noise about it in the media, but then it kind of died out in the day after. Was that not a tragedy? Well, war is a tragedy. But Israel here goes deliberately to bring justice upon an enemy that is responsible for killing hundreds of innocent Israelis, in their context of what an innocent person is. And as a consequence to that attack on the Hamas leader, military wing leader, some people who are not militarily oriented were killed. But the people that are associated with the Hamas, the people who are associated with a group, a group of people who are out to destroy Israel, have forfeited their right to live. That's right. They have forfeited their right to live when they are behind the destruction of another people without a cause. Now, when the United States had won the war in World War II, and if you look at history, most of the Germans who were in these other countries were expelled out of the countries. Many of the Germans lived in poverty for years after that. But the bottom line is this. The German society were all responsible and accountable to the death of over 6 million Jews and over millions of others who died in that war. Therefore, as a country, they would have been held accountable and they should have all been put to death. But now herein is the mercy of God. Since America is based upon biblical principles of mercy, we, by the grace of God, I say that, we the United States helped Germany to get back on their feet. And without the United States' help, neither Japan nor Germany would be in the position of prosperity that they're in today. That's because we, as a country, had practiced the realm of war that is usually not demonstrated by other undemocratic countries. That is, that even in the case of Israel, if Israel really wanted to carry out the mandate of the Bible, they have the biblical authority to go in and wipe them all out, every one of them, or to ship them out of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank and ship them out to the countries they came from. They have every biblical right to do it. But the fact is, because they are a merciful country and they are a democratically run country, they're seeking peace among the Arabs. Now, I believe that seeking peace is should be our first goal. But when peace is unattainable and destruction is only the second option, destruction of our own country is the only second option, we have to fight, and war is ugly, and that's about all you can say about it. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at a second coming, he also is going to put his enemies under feet. And a lot of so-called innocent people are going to be killed. But you can rest assured that those people all had an opportunity to get right with a holy God. Now, the only time there's going to be true peace is when the Messiah sets up his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. When there'll be peace like a river glorious, when the lion will lay down with the lamb, and the child will play with the adder or snake, and there'll be no harm, when the ground will not be cursed any longer. Now, this is God's desire for this planet. This is his desire for every country. But the reason why God has allowed war is because the nations have forsaken the living God. And therefore, God has used the nation of Israel, and for that matter, nations like the United States, who are based on biblical moral principles, to combat the evil that we see today. Now, if there was no United States of America, and if there was no Israel today, the world would be occupied by an anti-God, anti-good for people government. We'd all be in bondage. This would be either a Muslim-led country or a communist-led country. Either one of those wicked systems would lead all of us into physical and spiritual bondage. But thanks be to God for those that have God has raised up, and he has raised up many to defend the freedoms and liberties that we enjoy. And I thank God for that. And, you know, Americans used to say, I'd rather be dead than red. Well, that ought to be true for today as well. I'd rather be dead than have this country occupied by a bunch of infidels and a bunch of people who would call it a capital crime to worship my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what it is in these countries. We don't do anything about it. See, if Islam was such a peaceable religion, they would allow Christianity in Saudi Arabia. They would allow Christianity to flourish in these Muslim-dominated countries. Now, these are the countries we're doing business with. These are the countries that we've given legitimacy to. And frankly, that is one of the main reasons we're having all the problems we're having today. Folks, it's duplicity. Now stay tuned. Do not turn your dial. More is yet to come. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now, we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of His eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee earth, O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Free. Thank you so much for staying with us for this last part of the hour with Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. You are our honored guests, whether you're a Jewish person or a non-Jew. We are sure appreciative that you're listening right now. Now, I'm going to be airing the rest of a message that I preached at a tent revival evangelistic meeting on Prophecy Israel and the End Times and in Alabama some time ago, and God was with us in a mighty way. People got born again, gloriously saved, and the people of God were built up in the faith. It was just a great time. Independent Baptist churches of that area helped us and rallied behind our efforts, and it was a blessing indeed. So put your seatbelt on, let's get ready, and listen to the Word of God. The title of the message was, The Seal of the Devil or the Seal of God? Are you becoming a reprobate? Stay tuned, you'll find out what that word means.
Why do you think that God not only gave 1, 2, 3 plagues against Pharaoh in Egypt? Could he have not made the point with just one? Why did he do all that? So that his name would be glorified in the whole wide world. Why was there 10 plagues and not 9? I'll tell you why. 10 is the number of the Gentiles. And God was saying that I'm going to judge the Gentiles for rejecting God. And he did. Are you with me now? So, very sobering thought tonight. Some of you already thinking about, man, I sure hope I'm not a reprobate. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're even thinking that way, you're the one that needs help the most tonight. I sure hope I'm not a reprobate. You're the one I'm preaching to tonight. Amen. Not the only one now, but you're one of the ones I'm preaching tonight. Are you with me now? Now notice, I want to show you an example in the Bible, a true bona fide reprobate. I want you to go back to Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read the story, the true story of a true bona fide reprobate. Fascinating how we see many things in this chapter. We see the grace of God. We see the mercy of God. We see the judgment of God. And we see a bona fide reprobate. Notice here in verse 1. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. Can I just throw this out? Notice the godly language here in the King James Bible. You pick up some perverted Bible, and they have detailed pornographic explanation as to what this is saying. And I'll tell you what, when that boy asked me how he came into the world, I simply told him, son, daddy knew mommy, and there you was. He looked up to me when he was 3 years old. He said, I see, daddy. Thank you for answering my question. Come on now. I talk about the purity of the Word of God. I talk about the holiness of the Word of God. Amen. That's right. That's why you have to tell your babies. Daddy knew Eve. Praise ye the Lord. Woo! Can I get an amen on that? All right, Adam knew his wife. And it was his wife, by the way. It wasn't his girlfriend, it was his wife. That's right. And notice here, Adam, and by the way, it wasn't him either. It was her. I said it was her. It wasn't it. It was her. Now come on now. It wasn't Adam and Steve, huh? You know that's right. Come on now. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Now this is one of the messianic prophecies. She thought that this was Jesus. She really did. Back in Genesis 3:15, the Bible said he's going to put enmity between them and the woman, between the devil and the woman. And she was looking for the Messiah to come. But it wasn't him. Thank God it wasn't him. Amen. Now you notice this now. You find here in verse 2, and she again, Pharaoh's brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock. By the way, the word firstlings means only begotten. Are you with me now? Only begotten. In other words, it's the first one, and only one, by the way. And of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and unto the offering, had he not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Here it is, folks. Two brothers, born up by the same parents, had the same standards. Are you listening to me? Two brothers that went to the same church, had the same God. I mean, you talk about sin in the world. There wasn't much back in those days. But they were under a godly environment, no question about it. Two brothers. One obeyed God. One obeyed the Bible. One understood that he would have to bring an offering unto God so that he would be accepted in the eyes of God. Are you with me? When a person comes to me and says, I have accepted Jesus, I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. What do you mean by that? Well, it's not that we accept Jesus. That's not really in the Bible now, okay? Now, we don't use the Bible. Let's use Bible terminology. I don't see in the Bible that it says, I accept God. Listen, who are you to think that you're something except God? You're a nobody. You're a depraved, wicked nobody. You understand? You don't deserve the grace of God. You deserve to run hell for eternity. Who are you to think, you proud, self-righteous bigot, come before a holy God and say, I accept you, God. Who are you? Hey, let me tell you something. I didn't accept Jesus. God accepted me. But he didn't even accept me. It wasn't really me that he accepted. He accepted my offering. He accepted my offering. My offering. That's who he accepted. Jesus, the just who died for the unjust. The righteous for the unrighteous. The sinless one for the sinner. I'm talking about Jesus who took my place on the cross of Calvary so that I wouldn't have to suffer the pains of hell. Amen? That's my offering. Oh, praise to God. And he brought that thing. And God said it was well-pleasing. He accepted it. But Cain, his brother, brought up under the right standard. They didn't even have a television back in those days. They didn't have the movies, Brother Barry. Didn't have a newspaper back in those days. Didn't have romance novels. No. No! Didn't have those pornographic magazines. Hey! Didn't have the internet. Hey! Didn't have computers back in those days. Didn't have telephone back in those days. They had the best environment to bring up your children. Yet one obeys God and the other has a problem. I mean, come on, I'm trying to tell you something right now. We're under this tent right now, and some of you have it all right. You've been brought up the right way. Some of you don't even have a television, but you think you're hot stuff. I will tell you something right now. If you think that having television is going to get you to heaven, you don't know how to get to heaven. Amen? Now, if anybody's against television, I am. I haven't had one for 24 years, and guess what? I haven't missed anything. Well, actually, I'm sorry. Let me correct myself. I tell you what, I have missed some things. I miss pornography. I miss adultery. I miss lying. I miss cheating. I miss murder. I miss bad violence. I miss all the bad news. I saw Miss Lothy, Brother Barry. Woo! I miss a lot of stuff, man. But they didn't have all that stuff. How come under the best circumstances, pretty close to the millennial environment, we still have a messed up situation? And there he is. Cain said, I'm the tiller of ground. I worked hard. Oh man, look at what I've done. I've worked. Surely God is going to look at me and accept my offering. Man, I've been a good church member. God knows me. God knows I put that big old $1,000 check in the plate every week. Amen. God sees what I've done. I'm not such a bad guy anyhow. No. Look how good I am. Look at me. I'm even wearing a white shirt tonight. My mommy told me I'm good. My mommy said I can do no wrong. I've arrived, son. I'm a good boy. I tell you something. You are never to call your children good for anything unless they're saved. Amen. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Until my boy and girl get saved, they're not good. They're wicked as hell. Amen. That's right, they need to get saved. Oh, don't you talk to my baby like that. God says they were born in iniquity. That little baby, that little jewel you got right there, that little honey baby you got right there is a filthy, no good, rotten sinner. That's you better make sure you teach them how to get right with Holy God. No, I'm not that you're talking about forcing them to come to church, forcing them to have to do this, forcing. Hey, listen, we got to train them in the way they ought to go, but you better put some heart to this. You better sit down with them and say, sweetie, I know I look at the world, they do all that, but sweetie, here's the biblical reasons why we don't do this. And show them how to love God. Hey, man, I know what makes my wife tick. I know her number, man. And when I need something, I dial that number. And it's not 911 either. I know exactly what to push to get what I need. And ladies, you know this for sure. You know what buttons to push to get what you need. I'll tell you right now, folks. Man alive, we know what to do. But there's no heart in it. It's all a show. He brought the sacrifice before God and said, now, Lord, you've seen all what I've done, Lord. Come on now, Lord. I want to earn some favor in your eyes. Oh, man, I want to earn some favor in your eyes. And this is what God said. God gave Cain a chance to be saved. Not one time, but two times. First time is when he told him to bring an offering. Instead, he brings an offering of good works. And no man has ever been saved by being a good person. Nobody will, and nobody will ever be saved by being a good person. For there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. And come short of the glory of God. Are you with me now? Now here's the thing that gets me more than anything. God in His mercy says, all right, Cain, I do not respect your offering. But I want you to look out the door over there. What do you see, Cain? I'm kind of developing a story, I guess, in my imagination, what it must have been like. And Cain says, well, Lord, it looks like a lamb. Looks like that offering, almost the same that Abel had killed. Now that word sin is the same word that's used in Leviticus for a sin offering. God loves Cain. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. If God was a wicked God, I mean, if there was any sin in God, and there isn't, but if God wasn't the lover of our souls, God would never have given Cain a second chance. I believe God is a God of second chances. And he rejected that offering, but he didn't reject him yet. And God said, now Cain, if you take that sin offering over there and you sacrifice that sin offering over there, it will be accepted in my eyes. Amen? And this is the thing. Did you notice? Cain didn't have to go get it. Cain didn't have to get his own offering. Man, don't you see what I see? You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. Amen. And God says that they were found of Him. Yes. Oh, yes. I'm talking about the offerings out here tonight. It's Jesus Christ, that lovely name, that lovely person, that one who died for you, that one who shed His blood for you. I'm talking about the God-man. I'm talking about the one that came out of glory in order to suffer like a servant. He didn't have to do it, but He did it. He's our sin offering. He's the one that loves us. Don't you understand what I'm saying? He came willingly. Nobody took His life, but He gave it of His own will. He could have called legions of angels down. Are you with me now? Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Come on now. How many times has God given you a chance to be saved, but you still ignore the only one way to get saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ? You're still trying to find a way to get to heaven your own way. And there's only one way. And there's only one name under heaven that we can get saved by. That lovely name of Jesus. But Cain, rejected the only sacrifice, which was the picture of Jesus Christ. And then God said, all right, Cain, I gave you a chance. You have rejected me. You have rejected my offering. You have rejected me. Now, Cain, I'm going to put a mark on you. I'm just going to use that as an illustration, all right? That mark, perhaps on his forehead. Perhaps even on his hands. Wherever Cain will go from now on, everybody will know who Cain is. Who is Cain? Cain is the rejected one. Cain is the reprobate. Cain is the one that can never be saved. Can you imagine going around? You're it. You're it. You're it. I remember during the Holocaust, and even before the Holocaust, when the Roman Catholic Church, by the way, would put these Star Davids, and in the middle they would write J-U-D-E in there, which means Jude, Jew in German. And he would put that in there. And he would say that everybody that had that written on there, they knew, the Germans knew that they were Jews. I'm talking about granddaddies had them on there. Grandmas. Can you imagine, ladies, you dear ladies, having a star on there saying you're a Jew? And when they saw that you had that Jewish patch on there, I'm talking about in the ghettos. The Roman Catholic Church started this thing, by the way. Hitler didn't come up with that idea. Are you with me now? The Roman Catholics did that. And they would see you, dear lady, you're a sweet lady, and they would force you down the ground, spit on the ground, make you scrub the concrete. That's what they would do. How about it? Sometimes I think we Christians, who are really Christians, who say, claim to be Christians, You're no more of an outward Christian than I almost feel like we need to come up with Christian patches. Because I can't tell whether you're a Christian from a heathen. You dress like a heathen. You talk like a heathen. And you go to places a heathen go to. How am I going to know you're a Christian? Why don't we give out these so-called Christian patches and let's identify who you really are? Come on now. You say you're a Christian? Come on now. I wonder how many people really think you're a Christian. But Cain had that patch, that supernatural identification mark. And he said, Lord, he said, no man, they'll kill me. If they see me, they'll kill me. They're going to kill this reprobate. They're going to kill this reprobate. Now, one of the reasons why God didn't let him get killed is one reason I know for sure. God wanted to populate the earth. Wanted to populate the earth. Of course he did. So God knows what he's doing. Now, folks, listen. I'm telling you, this is serious business. Serious business. Now, I want you to turn quickly now. I want you to turn quickly to Revelation. Revelation chapter 13, if you would, please. Revelation chapter 13. I'm building this foundation, and it's going to hit you with a ton of bricks in a minute if it hasn't already. I want to show you something. The devil has a mark. When God identifies a person as a reject, the devil himself then identifies with that reject. And according to the book of Revelation, in the tribulation period, the devil, who will know those who have rejected on God, who have rejected God, and according to the book of Thessalonians, the Bible says, they obey not the gospel. And he's going to know who they are. And those who obey not the gospel, they're going to get a mark. And I call that the mark of being a reprobate. Now notice here, in Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13, notice here what it says in verse 16. Have somebody clean my glasses real quick, brother. I just can't see without my glasses. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor. Hey! You might be a banker here tonight. You got all the money in the world. Your money, son, your money, sir, will not save your soul. You might be the poorest person in this tent. That won't matter. It'll be too late by then. God will not have mercy on you. The mercy and the grace of God has a beginning and has an ending for you. Notice here, Revelation chapter 13, we're talking about prophecy. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand.
Well, that's about all the time we have left. I'm so thankful to God, and we'll continue this, Lord willing, finish up this message that I preached with the help of God. And I hope it's been a blessing to you. Will you respond to the words of God, or will you wait until it's too late? And if the rapture was to happen today, you could be the very ones to receive the mark of the beast. But you have a choice. You have an opportunity to receive Christ and receive the mark of God. May God help you, and may God save you if you're not saved.
Keep His covenant and show with mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their hearts. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God, with sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire. Receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by free will offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your free will donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA, 30127, USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net, or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.